Wait till you see the offering. Yep, butterfly nets. It's a riff on the way the Catholics do it. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Figuring things out, thinking, oh, they might have something there. Butterfly nets are much more colorful than the... It is lovely to see everyone this morning. Look at you. By the way, Kathy Winders, have you taken a gaze at some of these masks out here? With, you know, well, that's lovely, but, however, that's great, yay, but Mickey Minnie are out here.
Who has Mickey?
Mickey, Minnie is next to Mickey, and there's a Mickey over here, too, I do believe. There you go, Pat. See? There you go. That's what she thinks of that. Although she's very glad to see you all. It's a lovely day to be here. Has everybody just looked around to take in the gorgeous view here? I don't even have to say, oh, look, it's a beautiful day this Sunday morning, and I don't have to make up the weather report. Which I've not been very good at doing. But anyway, you all look lovely. It is so wonderful to see you all here. Cal's mother, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
It's about time you got here. We have a couple of announcements this morning as we begin worship. Don't forget to make your reservation for worship next week. Call the church office and say, I'd like a reservation for Wild Party of Two. Wild Party of Two. Okay, just call and tell her you're coming. Thank you for wearing masks. And the reservations need to be made by Thursday at 2:30 because that's when we all leave and the church office is closed on Friday. Tomorrow at 8, there will be a board meeting by Zoom. So board members want to pay attention to that. And small groups, we are going to be working on getting you back into the church as soon as we can. Also, if you are interested in providing special music this summer, Lonnie McBee will be our summer special music coordinator. So get a hold of her by email or call her, and she would be glad to set you up. Are there other announcements for our worship service this morning? Anybody? Anybody? Rick, I'm looking at you, like always. Dennis? Also, I will tell you, this morning we have the team that has been leading worship for the last season as we have been recording on Thursday evenings. Rick has been doing sound, and Dennis has been eldering, and Kathy has been playing the piano. I just wanted you all to see them once again and see these folks who have been providing leadership for our worship service while we have been primarily on the website. So thank you all very much for helping with our worship service. And so to begin our worship service, we will begin with the prelude. Kathy?
Thank you.
And now will you stand and join us in the call to worship, please? Listen, can you hear the wind?
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Look, can you see the dancing flames?
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Can you hear the message in a language you can understand?
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Do you see the visions? Can you dream the dreams?
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Come, beloved of God, let the firestorm of Pentecost fill your entire being with hope.
All together in one place, we come and worship our God who sends the windstorm of the Spirit to transform us into Pentecost people.
Our opening hymn this morning is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. You see there's no hymns, hymn books, or Bibles in the pews, so the words are right there on the screen.
Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we come together on this joyous Sunday morning as we're able to worship together once again. We ask that you fill us with the Holy Spirit this Sunday so that we can take this Spirit out of this church and into the world. We know you are with us each and every day, and we are so ever thankful for your hope and faith in each and every one of us. Let us now pray the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who've sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. is on.
In my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Ooh, oh, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say when I think I am weak, and you say I am held when I am falling short, and when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours, and I believe, oh, I believe what you say.
Say I
you, Madison. As we come now to our time of prayer, we have a few joys and concerns to share. Debbie, you were supposed to write something down for me. There it is. Okay. This is a joy. Debbie's walking a lot for a good cause. And it's important to share. So there. Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Debbie is walking a lot for the Wyoming Law Enforcement Torch Run for the Special Olympics. The goal is to have people in Wyoming walk, okay, wait for it, 2,020 miles. And to raise $20,200 for the Special Olympic athletes. Debbie's walking to honor Jason Tummond, who loved life, love, rainbows, flowers, holidays, and his family and his friends. Jason participated in Special Olympics. He is now in heaven. I have walked 45 miles so far at 1 to 2 miles a day and started on May 15th. The walk ends July 15th. And she plans to walk 100 miles by then. If you'd like to join her on her walk or want more information, please contact her. So that is a joy that, see, you can do a lot, little by little, each step. That is a joy. Debbie, thank you for sharing that with us. Also, let's see, where am I? Joys and concerns. Oh, John and Amanda Curlin, Amanda Dowler, they had their baby this last week. Annika Curlin was born on the 31st of May. She weighs 6 pounds, 15 ounces and was 19 inches long. And Tom and Melanie, our new grandparents, she is just beautiful. If you have not seen her all over Facebook, she looks just like her grandfather. She looks just like her grandmother. She's beautiful. She is beautiful, and we are glad for her safe and healthy arrival into this world. Cal, there you are. How you doing?
Good.
Monica's home.
Yes.
We're glad for that. And welcome home. I'm going to call you Mary.
I'm Judy.
Okay.
Judy.
Well, okay, I'll call you that.
You.
Welcome home, Judy.
I have a joy.
Yes, yes.
My husband's brother, David Potter, has been in Iowa to see his grandson graduate, which went by the wayside. And he's been in a nursing home there, and he tested positive a couple of weeks ago. And he's got Parkinson, all sorts of things, and it was a real concern.
Yeah. That's, yes, it is. That's amazing. Thank goodness for that. Thank goodness for that. Mike Ward is doing well. He's been in Denver directing Connor, his grandson's Eagle Project up in the mountains. So you know how he feels about those. So you know he's had a good time. And a concern. Things are very uneasy in our country right now, so we want to hold our country and our people in prayer, and those who we want to hold the entire country in prayer. Our general minister and president, Terry Horde Owens, and our regional minister, Joanne Bell Haynes, have both written pastoral letters to our churches. They are posted on the websites of the General Church and the Regional Church, where you can find them. They also have included a list of resources. If you are concerned and interested in learning more about racism. Those are easily accessible, or you can talk to me if you feel the need. So just know those are available. And that's what I'm going to say about that. Are there other joys or concerns to share this morning? Yes. Pam is recovering from knee surgery. Yes.
I have a joy.
What?
It was a joy to come this morning and open up the church doors for the first time in about 60 days. So thank you all for coming. It's a gracious joy to see everybody here this morning. So,
yes.
And that's a ray of sunshine.
It is. It is. Thank you. Others, we're so glad to see you all. We really are. Let's join together in prayer. Oh God, in whom we have our breath and our being, we come this morning to thank you. A group of believers gathered once again, all together in one place, mostly in Christ's name. We come confessing that many times our eyes have not been looking for your Pentecost tongues of fire. Our hearts have not been open to being filled, and our gifts have not been used generously. And so we ask this day, O God, that your Holy Spirit may descend upon us, that our lives and this church may reflect your presence among us. Come down, O love divine, O loves excelling, that we may be able to pray together, that we may understand what we are saying, that we may feed the hungry together, doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with you together. Make your church, through the rush of windstorm and the burn of firestorm, rain your fire among us. Make us the church, O God, reform us. Because we know we have neither the courage nor the human strength enough to become what you continue to call us to be. Come down, O love divine, to those who give their consent for your action in their lives this day. We live in daily wonder and gratitude and joy of being your church, of being a part of the whole people of God. We thank you, O God, for the newness of a life that is shaped by Christ and offered to us every day. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
If you've been following us since Palm Sunday, a little before Palm Sunday, maybe, in that, listening on the web, you've heard the scriptures as we progress through Palm Sunday, through Good Friday, through Easter, and now we're working our ways to the 50 days past Easter. and the ascension of Jesus up into heaven and anointing the disciples who become apostles with the Holy Spirit. But the one common thread each week as you read the scriptures is that when Jesus was with the disciples and the apostles, or whoever he was with, was a meal. And they broke bread and they blessed the cup. You see, at the end, kind of where we're at right now, and that was God's promise to put the Holy Spirit there in everybody so that we could continue to do God's work. A humble piece of bread and a cup of juice is God's promise to you that he is with you each and every day as you struggle through life's challenges. God didn't tell you it was going to be easy. He just said he'd be with you. And if you believe that he is with you, then the challenges will be small. Let us sing our hymn of communion, a hymn of joy we sing. The words will be up on the screen.
On the night before he died, Jesus sat down to eat supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body given for you. As often as you eat this, do this to remember me." And after supper, he took a cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is for you. As often as you drink this, remember me."
Let us pray. O loving God, we thank you for the opportunity to come and share this humble piece of bread and the cup that represents the sacrifices your Son made for us. We ask you to bless this piece of bread and the cup so that we may be filled with your love to share with others. We know you ask us to carry on your mission, and we do so with great hope and joy. Please bless us as we go forward this week to share your love to all the world. Amen.
Thank you.
To say the world has been dark in the last 2 weeks might be one of the biggest understatements of 2020. It seems like everywhere you turn, you hear nothing but people angry at somebody else, mad at the world. Things just aren't right. But this morning, when the doors of the church were opened, a sunbeam came out. It's not the only one, but it's one of many. You see, you being here will be noticed. People will drive by and they will see the cars in the parking lot. They will understand that you're here to worship and rejoice in God, and they will understand that life will get better. It gets better when we give our tithes and offerings, because we can spread more of God's love throughout the community and throughout the world. It's through your generous donations that we're able to heal people and to help people. We're so ever thankful for your generosity and your love and your caring. Our diaconate will now collect our tithes and offerings. Oh, gracious God, we thank you again for blessing these tithes and offering and sharing your love and hope as we go through these trying times and out into the world. Please bless these so that people will understand your love and your caring for its people. In these things we ask, amen.
Two questions. Anybody notice the color of the butterfly nets? Yeah. And why would we use red?
Pentecost.
Yes. We have them in four colors. Oh, times like these need a little fun. And so did everybody do okay with the little communion? Did anybody like rip the I ripped the whole top off first and had a little trouble with the little wafer. Well, we'll get the hang of it. If you need help with it, let somebody know. It can be a little tricky. Anyway. Okay, our only scripture reading that's listed up there is Acts chapter 1. Actually, it's, okay, so I wrote it down wrong for Kathy, all right? It's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Sorry. So y'all can just, as long as everybody's paying attention back there, y'all can just skip the reading up here, because I wrote it down wrong for Kathy, so it's the wrong reading. Okay, thank you. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Here ends the reading of the word. And they were all together in one place. Amen. There we go. All together in one place. Almost. From the beginning, light plays in the dark. Sparks fly, morning stars. The Spirit choreographs a leap. God, shod in fire, touches down on the dance floor of earth. Loving to do the old soft shoe, a tap dance without taps. Keeping time to the pounding beat of each human heart, upbeat, downbeat, offbeat. She is imaging the dancer in a whole new way. Hold her hand, there is light. So when you're 5 years old and the neighborhood fire truck is up at your local grocery store giving kids free rides around the parking lot, well, you grab your 2.5-year-old sister's hand and make a beeline to the grocery store, even if you do forget to tell your mom where you're going. And even at 5, it's worth the punishment no matter how bad it is when you get home. As the next 50, 55 some years go by, you will forget the punishment carried out that day, but you will remember riding that fire truck around the parking lot for the rest of your life, up on the top of it. Ah. There's something about kids and fire trucks and firefighters. When our earliest teachers ask us what we want to be when we grow up, as 5-year-olds, many of us wanted to be a fireman. Firefighter. Many of us grew out of that. Some of us didn't. Chan was one of those kids who never grew out of it. He was an elder at my church in Redondo Beach, California. When I was the associate pastor there, he had just retired from the Redondo Beach Fire Department. He had been the captain at Fire Station 2. Retiring was not his choice. One day he'd been running out on the beach, and he suffered a major heart attack. And that meant he wasn't able to do his job anymore. So he had to retire at the age of 53. Chan loved a good fire. And I loved listening to him talk about fire. For him, there was, quote, "Nothing better in the world than to be covered in soot and snot and smoke after fighting a really good fire." Chan loved fighting fires. He just loved fire. And so it seems, does our God. Nikos Kazantzakis says, fire is the first and final mask of our God. Throughout Scripture, fire is a frequent sign of theophany. There's a word y'all use frequently, huh? Everyday language, theophany. a divine appearance, the presence of God. Fire is a sign of God's presence. Like on the day of Pentecost that we just celebrated last week, and we don't talk nearly enough about that. 50 days after Easter, the church is birthed on the rush of a forceful wind. The Spirit descends upon those disciples who are gathered all together in one place. The Spirit lands on each of them, appearing as tongues, as flames of fire. And as the fire of the Spirit rests on them, they each begin to speak in other languages, in different languages, as the Spirit gave each one of them ability. And on that day, the windstorm and the firestorm of the Spirit brings the followers of Jesus the gift of speech, the gift of proclamation, the gift of understanding the Word of God, the gift of understanding the good news of God, and the church and its mission begins. And the fire of new life and purpose now spreads throughout the world. The day of Pentecost is, as the poet said, God shod in fire touches down on the dance floor of earth. And new things, unexpected things begin to happen. And it's not for the first time. If we think of God shod in fire, we might think of the Exodus story. God sees the suffering of his people. God hears the cries of his people. God remembers the covenant with his people. God leads his people out of bondage and slavery in Egypt. Each year at the Passover, the story of Exodus is retold. We were slaves in Pharaoh's Egypt, but the Lord brought us out with a mighty hand. God is the one who delivered his people from bondage and oppression in Egypt. God traveled with his people as they left Egypt. God was the one who led them. And do you remember how God traveled with them? Exodus 13 says, "Then the Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." God himself led the people of Israel out of bondage. God accompanied his people out of Egypt. God never left his people alone. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Fire in the wilderness was the sign of God's presence, the appearance of the divine. And again, it wasn't for the first time. God, shod in fire, touches down on the dance floor of earth. The first theophany of fire, it's that burning bush. Remember that? Exodus 3 begins one of the most remarkable, one of the most wonderfully honest, exquisitely human call stories in the whole of Scripture. It's the story of an encounter that expresses the essence and the fullness of the human divine relationship. It's the call of Moses. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Moses may hide his face because he is afraid to look at God, because that's what you do, after all, when you're in the presence of the divine. But we must be clear on this. Moses is not afraid of the divine. Over the next two chapters, Moses and God will talk and argue and disagree and barter and challenge each other before the call and the task is settled. You see, God has it all worked out. God wants Moses, and Moses is not jumping at the opportunity. God says, "Go." And Moses says, wait, just a minute. Back and forth, they talk and discuss, God pushing forward, Moses hitting the brakes. And that's what makes this call story so wonderful. God does not demand complete agreement. God does not demand my way or the highway. Not here in this story. Not here. Here in the call of Moses, God is in dialogue. God is in conversation. God is in relationship. God listens to Moses. And even when God gets angry with Moses, which he does, God still listens and works with Moses, and God provides help, and God provides a way. Terence Fretheim reminds us that sometimes even God must resort to Plan B. This call story, this conversation of give and take, of back and forth, this conversation of disagreement and fear and argument and anger, challenge and acceptance, this is a holy conversation on holy ground because of God's appearance. God does not walk away from argument. God does not walk away from argument. God does not walk away from disagreement. God does not shut down angry or fearful words. Even difficult conversation between human and divine can be holy. There's nothing hurtful here, but there's anger and there's difficulty, but there's nothing hurtful. This is holy conversation. And that brings us back to something it can take a long while to notice about this lovely little story. Maybe you noticed it. It's about that burning bush. Actually, it's about what Moses says and does when he sees the burning bush, and the moment when God chooses to speak up. Catch it? Listen again. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. Moses looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. You remember, Moses wasn't afraid of God. He was afraid to look at God. And Moses wasn't afraid of the burning bush. He didn't turn away from it. He turned toward it. It caught his interest. It made him curious. The text makes it sound like the burning bush wasn't exactly on the beaten path. I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush isn't being consumed. Moses was paying attention to the world around him, and he saw something, maybe out of the corner of his eye, something unusual, something out of the ordinary. Maybe he did one of those quick double takes and decided to slow down long enough to check it out and to see what was going on. I must turn aside and see what's going on. The call comes forth because Moses was curious. And when does God speak? When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called out to him from the bush, Moses. Again, Terence Fredheim says, it is only when God sees that Moses actually moves to satisfy his curiosity that God calls to him. There would have been no hearing of the call if the curious sight of the burning bush that is not consumed had not been attended to. Rabbi Mark Gelman's Midrash on this story says that God caused a bush to start burning in the desert just near where some shepherds were pasturing their flocks. A few shepherds passed and walked away. They didn't even notice that the bush was burning, but not burning up. Bushes aren't special out in the desert, and burning bushes on fire aren't that special out in the desert either, so nobody took the time to sit long enough to watch the miracle happen. But Moses saw the bush and sat down on the ground and watched and watched and watched and saw the bush's leaves were burned off and the bush's branches were black, just like an ordinary burning bush. The only thing different about this burning bush was that it didn't burn up. It just continued to burn and burn, and the branches never fell down in a heap, and the fire never went out. And Moses was the only one who waited long enough to notice. People of God, it is the pillar of fire that leads God's people out of the wilderness. It is the windstorm and the firestorm that breathes new life and purpose into the church. It is by taking the risk and leaving the beaten path. It is by turning aside, entering holy ground, taking off your shoes, taking the time to sit, watch, listen long enough to see the presence of God, the fire of the Spirit among you. It is by opening oneself to the difficult yet holy conversation with each other and with God. It is by all of this that the call comes. It will soon be time to decide which road you will travel, the predictable road or the unexpected road. Where is the wind and the fire of the Spirit leading you? Robert Frost might be able to tell you, because he had two roads in the wood that diverged. Might be a clue there. Let's pray. God, shod in fire, touching down on the dance floor of earth, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts and minds open to curiosity, imagination, and wonder, that we might attend your presence, your appearing, for you are the Holy One in our midst. Amen. Amen. And our closing hymn this morning up on the screen is off the favorite hymn list, by the way, which if you want to send one to the office, there's still time to do that. Surely the presence of the Lord. Would you please stand? Was a long one. All together in one place. How y'all doing? Yeah? Okay. As long as you're in the building, you are our responsibility, so you must exit the building in a quick and orderly fashion. Once you're in the parking lot, you're on your own. What you do out there is your business. So, the deacons will usher you out like a wedding, all right? Please. Please wait for them. We would appreciate that. So, thank you for being here. Call the church office for next week, and it's so good to see y'all, really. And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.